ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। थूलयामालवेनापि न स्वर्गं न पुनर्भवम् भगवत्सङ्गिसङ्गस्य मर्त्यान्नं किम् उथाशिषा। Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great saint Prabodhananda Saraswati, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, has stated, Kaivalya nirakhayate tridashapura akasha pushpayate. For a pure devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, is no better than living in hell. Similarly, he considers promotion to heavenly planets, Tridashpur, just another kind of phantasmagoria. In other words, a pure devotee does not place much value in the destination of the karmis, the heavenly planets, nor in the destination of the jnanis, merging into the Brahman effulgence. A pure devotee considers a moment's association with another pure devotee to be far superior to residing in the heavenly planet or merging into the Brahman effulgence. The topmost benediction for those who are living in this material world and are subjected to the repetition of birth and death, transmigration, is association with pure devotees. One should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the material world. This Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. These beautiful prayers are being offered by the Prachetas. The context of their own lives very much testifies to the importance of this verse. The Prachetas are sons of the king, in fact the emperor of the world, Rachini Barhishat. So for them, living in luxury with great fame and prestige is their life. They're also young, healthy, strong in every way, All material opportunities are there. But herein, they're expressing that there's really nothing valuable in the entire creation except that which can be attained only by associating with pure devotees. The Prachetas, by their association with Narada Muni, with Lord Shiva, they were given the inspiration as well as the instructions of how to achieve loving devotional service to Krishna. Everything else in this world is temporary. Nothing else is real. Little Prahlad told his father, Hiranyakashipu, who was king of most of the universe, Naishamati stava rurukram angring sprishakyanatha sprishakyanatha pagamogyadartha mahiyasam padarajo bishekam niskinchinanam navriniti yapat. That my father, unless one bathes every limb of his body with the dust of the feet of those pure devotees who have no inclination to materialistic enjoyment, one cannot attain Krishna. One cannot attain what is actually of value in this world. Mahat sevam dwaram ahurva muktes tamodwaram yoshita sangeetam. By serving great souls, the doors to the highest liberation are opened. By associating with people, however successful and popular they may be in this world, if they are attached to the egoistic pursuits of the mind and senses, that association simply brings us through the door to the darkness of ignorance. Sadhu sanga, sadhu sanga, sarva sastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy. Thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that there is nothing so precious as the association of a devotee who has given his or her heart in the loving service of Krishna. Because even a moment's association with such a devotee can lead one to the highest perfection. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is the verdict of all the revealed scriptures. Because Krishna is only accessible through the mercy of his loving devotees. This is the arrangement that he has personally made. If you offend a devotee, Krishna will not give you shelter. Only the forgiveness of that devotee can attract Krishna to give you shelter. Durvasa Muni, he was such a mystic. What control over his senses? There wasn't any question of Durvasa Muni ever falling down to Grihastha ashram. He was staunch, he was powerful. He didn't have a trace of inclination for such gross material enjoyment of sex life or acquisition of possessions. Yes? Very, very highly advanced. He had perfected the cities of the mystic yoga system to such an extent that he could fly in the sky.
anywhere he wants. Sometimes we would like to be able to fly over the traffic in Bombay and want to go to the Car Road Center or Juhu Center or Radharas Bihari or Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Yes, we're just such insignificant, helpless jivas. We're just sitting in traffic jams or crowded on trains. But Durvas Muni, for him to do that is nothing. He could go all the way within a matter of minutes. He could go to Indraloka, to Brahmaloka, to Shivaloka, to Vaikuntha Loka, and back without any airplanes, emergency landings. He didn't have to pay for ticket or stand in lines. He just chanted a mantra and he was there. That's power. And when he got angry, just one hair from his body could create a fiery demon that had the power to devour practically the planet. But yet, he offended a devotee because of some false pride. Very difficult situation. You could be so powerful, but still you want respect. That was his weakness in this pastime. Amani na manadena. He wanted to be respected. Sex life, nothing for him. Living in buildings and houses, nice clothes, nothing to him. That was the subject of vomiting for someone like Durvas Muni. It's just disgusting, gross material pleasures. But he still had within his heart that craving to be respected by others. And that's a great defect. As long as you want even a drop of respect, you have to take birth again in this material world to search it out. Amani na manadena. And Lord Chaitanya talked this to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was very humble. He wouldn't directly speak to Lord Chaitanya. He would present his questions to Swarup Damodar Goswami to bring to Lord Chaitanya. That, oh, Lord Raghunath Das, he's thinking that he has renounced such immense fortune. Raghunath Das Goswami was the heir of such immense wealth. He's the only son. There was no cousins or there was no one else in his whole generation. Can you imagine? No cousins, no brothers or sisters. It was just him. The whole family line ends with him. So can you imagine how much his father and uncle wanted him to carry on what they gave their life to achieve as far as wealth, property, prestige, carrying on the family's good name through producing offspring. But Raghunath just wasn't concerned. He ran away. Now for most of us, if you ran away dozens of times and you were just apprehended, brought back, surrounded by 12 guards at all times, you would probably say, it must be Krishna's arrangement that I should just cool down and enjoy. But Raghunath, no, he was determined. He was dhritavrata. He was just always praying for that opportunity to come. And when it came, he escaped. Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying, Raghunath Das, he is asking this question, that he's renounced everything of this world and he doesn't even know why. He doesn't understand what are the duties of a person in the renounced order of life. Gramya kathana shunibe, gramya bharatana kohibe, balana kohibe ara bharana kohibe. Lord Chaitanya said that actually Swarup Damodar Goswami, he could answer all your questions. But because you have asked me, I will tell. You shouldn't speak gossip. No criticizing others. No discussing materialistic topics. Gramya katha means really the kind of talk that common people enjoy. A devotee should not take part in that. Not in speaking it and not in hearing it. And we should not eat very luxuriously and we should not dress very luxuriously. Amanina manadena. You should give all respect to others and expect no respect for yourself. You should have this type of humility. And always chant the holy names of Krishna and meditate on the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. In essence, this is what renunciation is about. And actually, renunciation, Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Ganer, Vairagya Pradhan, renunciation is the very life and soul of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And seeing such renunciation, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased. And that means for the brahmacharis, for the grihasthas, for the vanaprasthas, for the sannyasis, the basis of every ashram is renunciation. But there's a different type of renunciation in each ashram. And if we just honestly and earnestly follow the renunciation of our ashram, we become very dear to the Lord. So Durvasa Muni, he renounced the gross pleasures of this world, but he wanted to be respected. And factually, he had so much to be respected for. If someone does severe austerities for so many years, and through those austerities you develop all these powers, then that's the least enjoyment you can get out of it, is for somebody to say, oh, you are very great. Otherwise, who are you doing it for? Nobody recognizes you. Yes, yes, God, we're doing it for God, but still, for God to do it. Because every living being is part and parcel of God, therefore, if God likes it, everybody should respect me. But that's a diseased condition. Lord Chaitanya said, a great person is like who has very good qualities. Those good qualities are like ripe fruits. And that person is like a tree. When a person has many good qualities, like ripe fruits, they cause the tree to always bend down very low on the weight of those fruits. Yes? A tree with no good fruits stand up very upright. But when many, many good fruits, the tree bows down. So similarly, a devotee who has such qualities is always bowing his head to all others. That is something. Even scholarship. If a person works really hard studying the scriptures or going to the colleges and they really just read book after book after book and they memorize it and they use their fertile brain to just, you know, comprehend and digest, and they're able to elucidate this information. And people really feel a great craving, need to be honored and respected for all that effort. Yes? And what is the counterpart for the craving for the pleasure of being respected? that it is very painful and even intolerable to not be respected. That was Ambarish Maharaj's situation. Durvas Muni. Ambarish actually was very respectful to Durvas Muni. But Durvas Muni, in his mind, he demanded full respect on his terms. And Ambarish respected him according to his realization, but it wasn't enough. So he became so outraged that he tried to cause havoc. Yes. But ultimately, Vishnu sent his chakra and Durvasa ran away and he went to all the different planets of the universe up to Vaikuntha. And Lord Vishnu told him in the end, he said, there's nothing I can do could protect you. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham. That because my devotee, those who surrender to me, they make me their life and soul, therefore I make them my life and soul. They know no one but me, therefore I know no one but them. I can't help you. If you trip on the earth, only the earth can give you shelter. If you offend a devotee, only a devotee can give you shelter. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. And if you please a devotee, Krishna is pleased. If you do not please Krishna's devotees, there's not much you can do to please Krishna. That is simply the nature of love. Krishna has orchestrated everything in such a way to preserve and facilitate the highest experiences of love. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord are like the representatives or the viceroys of the Lord. They are acting on behalf of the Lord. And Krishna manifests himself through the grace of the Vaishnavas. Narayana para sarve nakutashtana vibhyate swarka paparga apat nakutashtana vibhyate. That Bhagavatam describes that the great devotees of the Lord, they don't care anything for liberation. They don't care anything for mystic powers. They don't care anything for material wealth. Their only happiness, their only purpose is simply serving Krishna. Therefore, they're always peaceful. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. That out of many persons who attain liberation and mystic cities, it's very difficult to find a pure devotee. Pure devotee is the only one peaceful. Because a pure devotee is the only one in natural position. We are eternal servants of Krishna. So this is the essence of all subject matter. To understand that nothing but Krishna consciousness, nothing but loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has any real value. Anything within the entire creation that is not connected to the expression of loving service to Krishna is a distraction. It's Maya's trick to allure us and cheat us. Dharma prajita kaita patra parama niramat saranam sadham. That the Bhagavatam is a very special scripture because it kicks out all deceptive religious ideologies. Deceptive, cheating religions, which promise you anything but unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. Sabai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirat hokshati ahoitikya pratiyatha yagatma supersedati. The supreme occupation is loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So the Bhagavatam exclusively promotes prema bhakti as the only purpose and true goal in life. And practically every other scripture in the entire world, including Vedas, is teaching that, but with so many compromises. If you want to enrich your materialistic life, if you want to reduce the frustrations and sufferings, then this is how you can do. If you want salvation or liberation or mysticism, this is how you can do. And people are very much enamored by these things. Good health, good wealth, good knowledge, good family. And when I die, I can get even a better situation in the heavens. Or some people are so frustrated by the situation and all their futile attempts, they just want to negate everything. The Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of Vedic literature. Why? Because it kicks out all deceptive paths toward deceptive goals. It deals only with loving surrender to the Supreme. Surrender is the most beautiful, sweetest experience. Surrender means the wholesale giving of one's heart to the object of your complete trust, faith, and love. Little Prahlad, he just surrendered to Krishna in the most helpless positions. He didn't mind. He was peaceful because he surrendered. Thrown in a pit of snakes. We see one snake 10 meters away and we become afraid. He's thrown right on top of thousands of venomous snakes. And he felt no anxiety. How is it possible? He had no physical power to beat up the snakes. He didn't have mantras to neutralize the poisons. No. He had one thing. He surrendered his heart to Krishna out of love and trust. He had so much trust in Krishna. Love and trust go together. When you really trust somebody, it's unbelievable how much that person can cheat you or how much that person can help you, depending on who you trust. Yes. In this world today, people become very distrusting because they have so much experience that they put trust in someone and that person lets them down. They may let them down because they're cheaters and they have egoistic motivations. And when you're a trusting person, you're a person who is prime candidate for exploitation. Yes? So good salesmen are people who really get the trust of their customers. And if you want to cheat someone, that's the way you do it. You just trust the person will give you everything. And then, you snatch it and take it away. Arrivo. That's the story of material world. Or else you may put trust in somebody who's actually your well-wisher, but they just have no capacity to help you. That's another problem. They don't want to cheat you, but they have no choice but to cheat you because they just can't help you. Yes? You trust somebody. There's an incident I was just made aware of. One person, young man, worked for years and years and years, and made a couple $1 million, and just had so much trust in a friend that gave him all the money to invest. And that person actually invested it with all good intentions and lost everything. Actually wanted to help the person, but lost everything, and now it doesn't have anything to pay him back. So this poor man is just family, doesn't have a home, doesn't have anything, and all his money's gone, and there's no access to it. Because he trusted a person who had good intentions, but made mistakes, and therefore he lost everything. And how many histories are there in this world where we put trust in somebody and then we give them what we have and then they become tempted by, now I have it, and they just take it away. So when people have these four defects, imperfect senses, tendency to cheat, invariably illusioned, conditioned souls, can't really trust them, because either they're going to cheat us intentionally or they're going to cheat us unintentionally. But we're going to be cheated. So who could we really trust? Prahlad Maharaj trusted Krishna. And therefore, he was fearless. Nothing could disturb his peace of mind. Hiranyakashipu tried to terrorize Prahlad in every possible way, but he could not even for a second disturb Prahlad's peace of mind. Could you imagine being face to face alone in the room with Hiranyakashipu? And he's just screaming at you. It describes when he even raised one little section of his eyebrow, the demigods would tremble in fear. And here he is. He's just raising his eyebrows again and again and again toward you. And his eyes are just like lightning bolts just charging at you. And he's harsh voice is screaming obscene threats toward you. And he picks up his mighty sword to destroy you. You might feel some anxiety in that situation. And you're all alone. But Prahlad was preaching to his father in that situation, saying, Father, you are in illusion, you are in ignorance. Where do you get your powers? From the same place you get your powers, from Krishna. Where is this Krishna? He's everywhere, Father. He's everywhere. He's preaching. His father just about to kill him, angry as fire. And Prahlad's just his well-wisher, telling him to surrender to Krishna. Because he had so much trust in Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the only one who can save us. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches only one thing, how to surrender to Krishna. The Gita culminates Sarva Dharman Puritya Jamam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Isami Masucha.
Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
Srimad Bhagavatam begins where the Bhagavad Gita culminates, in pure unalloyed surrender to Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam develops that pure sense of surrender to higher and higher realms of realization. Therefore, what the materialists and even what the religionists are seeking are unacceptable to a Vaishnava, because we understand it's all distraction. Here is Prabodhananda Saraswati, who had little bhajan kutir on bank of Yamuna near the Kaliya Ghat in Vrindavan. And he's writing this beautiful prayer, so often quoted, that what is Lord Chaitanya's gift? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift is pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna. That's what we want. That's what we focus our intention on. We don't want any other distractions to take our consciousness away from that. Elevation to the heavenly planets, he calls a phantasmagoria. Prabhupada describes some examples of phantasmagoria, is flowers growing in the sky. Have any of you seen flowers growing in the sky? Or horse eggs? Huh? Now chickens lay eggs, and they have babies through eggs, and little reptiles, lizards, they have eggs, and they have babies through eggs. But horses are like people, they're mammals. You know, just a little horse comes out of them. Anywhere? Has there ever been a horse's egg? Huh? For you people living in Bombay, you probably don't even know. Probably, yeah. Of course horses have eggs. You know? How else are baby horses born? But for those who know horses, it's an illusion. There's no such thing as a horse egg. So this is phantasmagoria. You're just speaking about something that has no relevance to reality. So this is the heavenly planets. They really have no relevance to reality. With all kinds of enjoyment, there's beautiful, handsome men and lovely ladies, and there's flower airplanes, and there's so much palatial mansions and palaces and gardens and lakes and lotus flowers, and everyone's enjoying singing and dancing and drinking the somaras. Phantasmagoria. It is no reality to the soul. It's all temporary. Will-o'-the-wisp. It's like a dream. That's all. It's just like a dream. There's no substance to it. We are the soul. The only thing that has substance to the soul is that which is spiritual. And he considers, merging into the Brahman effulgence, mukti. Now in India, this is a very popular thing. Yes? To merge into the oneness of God. To transcend all the dualities and enter into the supreme oneness. To go beyond all form, personality, and desire, and enter into the desireless, formless state of God. Yes? We have seen people
the most nectarine word is merging. Really, I've seen people who, when they talk about, they say merge with such feeling that literally tears come from their eyes. That by this path, I will merge. They're very serious. But here, Prabodhananda Saraswati is talking what a Vaishnava's feeling of this merging is. He says, it's no better than hell. What hell? This would really be an aparad to an impersonalist. Haridas Thakur was more diplomatic. He said that impersonal liberation is an insignificant byproduct of pure love of God. Just like before the sun actually rises in the horizon, the sky lights up. So similarly, before Krishna even appears within the heart, we become liberated. And Gopal Chapala, who was one of these people who would just probably weep and cry upon the sound of the word, merge into the Supreme. I will become one with the Supreme. He was outraged. How could you say this? How could you are blaspheming? You are blaspheming mukti, the ultimate goal of life. But Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's very direct. In his heart, impersonal liberation is like, it's worse than hell. Worse than hell. Why is that? Because although there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's no anxiety, there's no problems whatsoever. Can you imagine a life like that? You experience it from time to time when you go to sleep. That's why people like to sleep. But sleep is just becoming so ignorant that you forget everything. But mukti is something very different. It's so much in the mode of goodness you forget everything. Sleep is, you're so much in the mode of ignorance you forget everything. But mukti, you're so much in the mode of goodness you forget everything. And in fact, you go beyond the mode of goodness. Mukti is beyond the modes of material nature. Yes? So, but you forget. No sufferings, nothing. But in that state, there can be no rasa. There could be no mellows of ecstatic loving exchange with Krishna. And to be without that, for one who understands what rasa is about, what bhakti is about, intimate loving exchange between the soul and God, to those who realize that, or to those who even understand the value of that, a devotee would rather be in hell than in mukti. Sanatana Goswami explains, though, that the only hope of getting prema when you're in the Brahman effulgence is sometimes Lord Shiva, with his associates, does Harinam Sankirtan through the Brahmajyoti. And if you're one of those spiritual sparks just merged, then... And Lord Shiva comes through dancing in ecstasy with his devotees chanting Harinam. That can actually awaken your prema. And then you could go to Goloka or Vaikuntha. But that's very rare. It's Lord Shiva's Harinam Sankirtan processions through the Brahmajyoti. But it's very... So for a devotee, at least in hell, even though you're suffering terribly, in that suffering condition, you can cry out for Krishna. You could remember Krishna. You can develop a loving relation and express your devotion to Krishna. So even after many, many, many births of tapasyas and studying scriptures, you may be able to achieve mukti. And after many, many births of working so hard and attaining so much good karma, you may get a good position in this world, and you may even be elevated to heavens. But here the Prachetas are saying, none of this compares to even a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of what one can gain by association with a pure devotee for one moment. One moment's association of a devotee has more value than everything within this world and within all the heavenly worlds and even everything within the spiritual sky of Brahmajyoti. Because in that moment of association with a pure devotee, Krishna makes himself available to us. In no other way does Krishna make himself available to us except through this. Therefore, Krishna to show, he became student and servant of Sandipani Muni in Ujjain, in Madhya Pradesh. Ujjain, that is the place where Sandipani Muni's ashram is. And from Mathura, Krishna Balaram was sent there by Vasudev Devaki to get nice spiritual training. But it was Krishna's desire. He wanted to show the world that even though he's God, just to demonstrate by his example, he studied under a great devotee and became his menial servant, collecting wood, massaging. Similarly, Ramchandra, he sat with Vishwamitra Muni and asked so many questions about the goal of life, about the histories of the Puranas. He's eager to serve him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not exhibit the symptoms of his Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Who is Lord Chaitanya? He's Krishna with the feelings, with the emotional sentiments and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. But that was not revealed to the world until he accepted teachings, initiation, and rendered service to Ishwarapuri, his Gurudev. Nityananda Prabhu became disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha and Madhavendra Puri, and menial servant of Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, even the Supreme Absolute Truth, who's the knower of everything, teaches by his example the importance of approaching genuine devotees in order to achieve what is real. Philosophy is very important, because without proper philosophy, we don't understand what is what. Acharyopashanam. One who hears from Acharya understands what is what. Otherwise, there's so much propaganda through the three modes of material nature to divert our attention to think something's valuable. And when you think something's valuable, then the tendency is you invest so much of your time and energy to achieve it. Ayur harati bai pung ba sang. And with every rising of setting of the sun, we're one day closer to death. You can't buy back even a single moment that is lost. So we must understand the value of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada here explains this Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. And what is the purpose? To convince people that there's nothing more valuable, there's nothing more beneficial, there's nothing more real in all of creation than one moment's association with a great devotee. Because they reveal Krishna to us. They reveal love for Krishna to us. That's the everything. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Lord of Vaikuntha, who has descended into this world. But just to set an example, when he was in Kovur, in those days it was known as Vidyanagar, and he met with Ramananda Rai on banks of Godavari River. Now Ramananda Rai was, by social status, considered a Shudra. And Lord Chaitanya is Brahman, son of Jagannath Misra and Sachi Devi, who's the daughter of Nilambar Chakrabarti. Very great, prestigious Brahmin family. Ramananda Rai is a Grihastha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the crest jewel of sannyasis. And yet Lord Chaitanya was so much attracted to Ramananda Rai's association. In fact, he couldn't give up his association. For about 10 days, they just discussed Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya had a mission of delivering so many hundreds and thousands of conditioned souls all over South India. He had to go. So he begged Ramananda Rai. He pleaded with Ramananda Rai, please resign from your government service as governor and come to Puri to live with me always. I can't live without you. Now, how many people, when they're at the prime of their youth, at the summit of their career, just give up their position as governor? Huh? Most people will fight like anything to get that position. And then from that position try to be elevated to higher and higher and higher positions. But Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Rai, give up your wealth, give up your being governor of the whole state of Madras under the king Pratapa Rudra. Give up everything and just come to Puri because I need your association. I love your association. I want your association. In fact, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai, what is the greatest misery? And Ramananda Rai said, there's only one misery I know, to be without the association of devotees. Everything else is bearable, but that is unbearable. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling through South India, he was collecting books just to give to Ramananda Rai to please him. Krishna Karanamrita, Brahma Samhita. Deliver those books to Ramananda Rai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu valued so much the association of devotees, more than anything in all of creation. And what is the spiritual world? The spiritual world is simply an eternal life in the association of devotees, where everyone is centered around offering services and pleasure to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And by Prabhupada's mercy, factually these temples are the spiritual world. If we actually live according to the principles, where we're all living in a very united way for the exclusive purpose of giving service and pleasure to Sri Radha Gopinath. We're all willing to put aside our own egos and our own frustrations and our own expectations. Because as long as you have these expectations based on your ego and your likes and your dislikes, then it's bound to create conflict. Conflict amongst other devotees, conflict amongst family members, and conflict just within your own, amongst your own desires. The mind of a conditioned soul is like a battlefield. So many desires are battling with each other. What does association of devotees mean? Vaikuntha, not Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, but not the war. Yes, we have to fight for justice in that sense. But devotees are not supposed to fight with each other. We're all supposed to be on the Pandava side. And how can we avoid that in the age of quarrel and hypocrisy? We have to actually believe. We have to believe that really our goal in life is we're working together to please Radha and Gopinath. That's all. That's our aim. That's our purpose. If they're pleased, we're successful. If they're not pleased, we're a failure. And when devotees are fighting, they are never pleased. When devotees are envious or antagonistic, they're never pleased. Our purpose has failed. So every single living entity who's in a human form of life has the power, if they have the will, to overcome these egoistic propensities. I'm right, you're wrong. I expect this of you. Why are you not according to my image? Hare Krishna. It's very frustrating. How do we overcome that? Amanina manadena. Just if you don't want any respect for yourself, but you like respecting others, the problem's solved. So easy. At the beginning, it's an austerity. But as we make a little bit of advancement, it becomes natural. So yes, this is the verdict of all scriptures. A moment's association with devotees in that spirit, there's nothing that can compare to it. If you don't understand the value of something, then you will definitely lose it due to negligence. Yes. Because Maya understands the value. And all her agents within this world understands the value of what you have, and they're after it. You know, in this world, there's the kind of thieves that dress in black and come out at night with their swords and their daggers, and they'll just sneak into your house, and before you know it, they've taken everything, and if you happen to see them, they'll kill you for it. Yes? They're dacoit-style thieves. But there's also thieves who wear suits and ties and nice French perfumes. Their hair is nicely combed. And they speak very fine, sweet language. Yes? White-collar thieves. Yes? And they're very sophisticated, and they're mixing with the aristocracy, and they're giving so much in charity to various foundations to make their name respected so that people trust them more, so that they could steal more, Harivo. Sometimes charity is a good investment. Really, if you give enough charity and make it public so everybody knows you've given so much in charity, then people trust you. So I give 1 crore of rupees in charity, everyone trusts me, and then I steal 100 crores because of that trust. Ha! Good business. Yes, so many thieves like this. What do they call? Wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, Prabhupada said, if you simply have faith that I have not come to cheat you, you'll go back to Godhead. So Maya She has her entire entourage within this material energy to try to somehow or other steal this jewel of the aspiration for pure devotional service from your heart.
Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadita Bhakti Lata Bij.
Mahaprabhu talked like this to Rupa Goswami. 8,400,000 species of life passing through all these lower species, just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
Nayam deho deha bhajam na loke kastan kaman arhati vibhujamje.
The pleasures of the mind, mental experiences of pleasure and sensual satisfaction are available to all the lower species. It's no big deal. But human civilization makes such a big thing out of it.
Look at these hoardings all over Bombay. So many hoardings. Buy this and you'll be happy. Watch this and you'll be happy. Bollywood. Yes, so many movies. Just give your money to us and enjoy this movie and you'll be happy. Just see what's in this movie. There's someone with a gun shooting a person's head off, and there's a beautiful woman with a knife in her finger, and there's two beautiful people having sex. Just, you'll enjoy. Come in. Give us your money and come in.
Yes.
And how many people are just giving their money and going in and watching? You can't enjoy a movie unless it's complete darkness.
Yes?
That's right. Before any cinema, they turn all the lights off and it's pitch dark. Then you can actually enjoy it. They don't, if it's not that they just put the projector and the screen in Shivaji Park at noon. You won't see anything. In order to enjoy these things, you have to be in complete darkness.
Yes?
So Maya just keeps us in darkness. And then once she casts us in darkness, and what is darkness? Darkness means we forget that we're eternal servants of God, and we think I'm the enjoyer. That's darkness. That's ignorance. So first, Maya, you're the enjoyer. You can enjoy. Everything is there for you.
Ah, yes, I'm enjoyer. I am this body. I am this mind.
Theoretically, yes, I've heard all these philosophies about spirit souls. But while I'm in this body and while I'm in this mind, it is for me to enjoy.
So first you're in that darkness. And once you're in that darkness, then you can see so many wonderful, fantastic experiences to enjoy.
Yes, you're part of the dream.
In this way, it's all available for the dogs and the hogs.
Mental and sensual pleasures is animal life. There's nothing special about it. Human beings try to make it special through so many decorations.
Yes?
You just take the same thing. Animals just do it in its crude, original, natural way. You know, they just eat, or they have sex, or they sleep, or they defend. But humans do it all so nice. So many nice types of sleeping arrangements and so many nice types of various corollaries to romance.
Yes?
For animals, you know, sex is sex. It's not a romantic thing. Eating's eating. You know, it's not a romantic thing. You know, you don't see a tiger in the forest with a deer and he has a nice napkin around his
his neck, and he has fork and knife and spoon and a glass of wine and sitting around with other tigers, you know, discussing politics. They just eat. Eating is eating for an animal. Sex is sex for an animal. Sleeping is sleeping for, you know, animals, they don't, this is not a comfortable place. Let's try to find a 5-star hotel. This is only a 4-star hotel. It is not fit for me. They just, wherever they're tired, they just, Simple. Very simple. The human society, so many decorations and ornamentations for the same experience. Just try to make it more exciting and make it new. Yes? But Prahlad Maharaj, he saw right through it all. Puna punas charvata charvananam. That it's all just chewing that which has already been chewed. Whatever labels you put on it, whatever decorations, ornamentations, or whatever other type of phantasmagoria you create around it, it's the same old thing, physical and mental sense gratification. It's animal life. Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan. He said, the dogs are running on 4 legs and you're running on 4 wheels. So you think you're better than dog? But the mentality's the same, just going after something for your pleasures. We're flying in airplanes and the birds are flying with their wings. We're eating and the dogs are eating. What's the difference between human life and animal life? Lord Chaitanya explained. When you come to the human form of life and the spiritual master awakens that seed of devotional service within your heart, that seed is, when it is developed, gives us the fullest, richest experience, which is the fulfillment of our every aspiration. Eternal love, eternal pleasure. Anandam buddhivaratanam pratipatam punamritasvadanam. The happiness we're always longing for. The fundamental principle of all human need is to love and to be loved. The soul's love for Krishna is the essence of everything. It's the only reality. Everything else is illusion. Why not develop reality? Prabhupada explained that preachers of Krishna consciousness use all their human creativity to just make Krishna more accessible and more attractive and more exciting to the world by simply revealing Krishna. But material consciousness is the opposite. Just to make the same old basic chewing what you've already been chewed, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, just to try to package it in so many other ways. These old, stale products, just package them in so many ways and put so many flavors in them and put so many styles in them and put so many wonderful, wonderful, dramatic anecdotes to it that people are attracted to sense gratification. But we want to do that for Krishna, because that's reality. So yes, this seed of devotion is the most precious thing there is. It's the only thing that can bring happiness. It's the only thing that can bring truth. And when Maya sees that you have that seed, she's going to do everything within her power to steal it away. She'll send her black robe dacoits with chains and she'll steal. And now there's thieves who just, they steal millions of dollars just by computers. Yes? It used to be that bank robbers would come in with guns into the bank and say, put them up and give me everything, and then the police chase them and they're running away.
Yes, bank robbers.
Now, you know, 16-year-old kids just rob a bank just by cracking different passwords on their computer.
Yes? How do you know?
So Maya has every way to steal that treasure of bhakti from your heart.
Therefore, we must understand its value. If we do not understand its value, it will be taken. If you have a rare diamond and the world knows you have it, do you just, you know, go to a store and leave it on the counter and then come back 2 hours later to pick it up? You keep it in a very, very protective, safe place. You're worried about it. You're concerned about it. Janmashtami is about that. Devaki represents a devotee and the principle of devotion. Kamsa represents fear of material existence. When you're afraid of Maya stealing away this devotion, that fear creates children. Yes? The mind. That fear of material creation actually kills the children of the mind, the Sadgarbhas, who represent lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. When a devotee fears material existence, that fear kills the anarthas within our heart. Because in that fear, we have to take shelter of Krishna. So Prachetas, they understand the value of pure devotional service. Therefore, they know that the association of devotees awakens and nourishes that. And without that association, there are many, many subtle and gross thieves trying to take it away from us. Krishna and all the beautiful rasas of the spiritual world are waiting for us. And they manifest in our lives through the association of the Vaishnavas. So please, this verse is very, very crucial. It's not just important, it is crucial. It is essential to understand if we want to make proper spiritual progress. That a moment's association with a pure devotee is of such an exalted benediction that there is nothing else in the entire creation that can compare to it. Because in that association, Radha Gopinath manifests themselves in our hearts. In that association, we will be inspired to hear the glories of the Lord, inspired to humble ourselves in the service of the devotees. In that association, we will learn to find joy in raising our arms very high and loudly crying out the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki. I thank you very much.